Good morning. Coming up here on 7:42, and we have the pleasure of having Representative Ron Bryce here in studio with us. Good morning, sir. How are you doing?
Good morning. It's my pleasure to be here.
Hey, great to have you on here on this Friday. You know, we are every weekend, you know, just getting a little bit closer and closer to Christmas, so looking forward to all of that. And, you know, we kind of wanted to start off here just a little bit as we begin with a update, you know, on the whole license plate situation. You know, it's always coming. It's been very interesting to watch this all develop. And now I guess we have a chance to vote on the design.
Right. I guess I just, as you said that, I thought this is license plate gate kind of thing. But the Kansas license plates, I don't know if, James, you've ever played this game when you're traveling on a trip or whatever. You look at the license plates and you try to find different states, and everybody's kind of proud of their state's license plate and so forth. Well, the new license plates in the works got a lot of negative feedback, and so the governor's office kind of has this online polling, and you can actually vote as many times as you want.
Well, yeah, it's just kind of the vote early, vote often. I'm like, well, okay.
We should do that for president, too. Yeah, no? People would burn up their computers if they
did
that.
I know, good grief.
But you can go online to the Kansas Department of Revenue site. I think there's a, if you just look up Kansas license plate voting online, you can Google that. There's kind of a longer web address, but you can just Google that. You can vote. They have several options. There's some like out of the box options. There's some people that were a little concerned because it had the Missouri Tigers colors on it.
Right.
Different things. People have their own concerns. But today is actually the last day you can vote if you have some interest and you want to go online. I'll just mention the website ksplates.kansas.gov, and you can vote until 5 p.m. as many times as you want. And then Monday the 18th there'll be an announcement, and I think the governor's office will announce Monday which license plate design we're going to have on our license plates. And this will begin they'll begin producing these and implementing this in March of 2024, so that's coming up. And I guess the one question I had, just because the way I am, but I was wondering, why are we replacing the plates? And I guess the it's only the standard embossed plates that are being replaced, and one of the reasons is the reflection of them is not as good over the years, and so they need something that the law enforcement can see better at nighttime and so forth. So I guess that's the main reason why, the reflectivity of the plates.
Well, and it's interesting because some states are going to the flat plates that are just printed out. In my opinion, they're harder to read, but
yeah.
I mean, I'm not in law enforcement.
So. Yeah, and in some plates, some states, they have front and back plates.
Yes.
Some cars don't even have a front place for a front plate. And so I know in Texas, for instance, there was an issue for a while because there was a guy that didn't want to have a plate on the front of his car. And they went through state law and they found that even though they were requiring front and back, front and rear license plates, there was no legal basis for it. So he just got away with it. But in Kansas, it's the rear plate. And I think it's a chance to promote our state, brand our state. There's one design that has a really neat scene with a buffalo and a sunset, and but I'm not going to sway anybody on their vote, but you know, I think it's a way we can attract people to our state and have a better brand image of our state. There's the Ad Astra motto, to the stars, and just go online if you can, Kansas Department of Revenue site, vote on the license plate. I think it'll be worthwhile.
Yeah, good reminder. Today is the deadline. Well, we had some good news to share about USD 445.
Yes, I always like to give credit where credit is due. And this week I had the pleasure of meeting with a lot of the USD 445 staff and people that are involved with different programs with USD 445. And a few years ago, Coffeyville, Field Kinley High School, and particularly the minority groups in USD 445 had a very low graduation rate compared to the state average. I think it was something like 78% in 2016. The state average was 86%. And so over the last 3 or 4 years, there's been a concerted effort through some of the mental health programs, the grants, getting parents involved, teachers, and they have now exceeded the state graduation rate. And I want to commend them for that. I think just being in the meeting and meeting with some of the people involved, you see the heart of these people for students and for wanting to better kids that are coming up for the future. And I just appreciate that. Because, and I want to just put in a plug for them, because so many times we get stuck on negativity, and there's so many things we could just be negative about. But that's a very positive thing. Since COVID hit, we've been above the state average, it looks like. And so kudos to USD 445, Dr. Craig Correll headed that up. And, of course, Field Kinley is my alma mater, so I like to say a positive thing or two about them. But I just wanted to bring that up. And something we can be positive about, because, and James, I think this also kind of brings up a point. I don't know if you get the feel of this, and it's more of a feel than a real objective thing, but I feel like we're turning a corner in a way with Coffeyville, with Montgomery County, with this area. There's so many things that are positive. There's just the graduation rate is just one metric for that. But when you look at the potential economic development, the Bartlett Grain facility, some estimates is $400 million investment, or maybe even more than that. It's hard to say exactly. But have you driven by Cherryvale? Have you seen this
thing?
Oh,
yeah.
It's like
it's pretty impressive.
A whole city they're building out there. It's gonna really transform things. And they're not only just processing soybeans. They're making biodiesel for jets, for, you know, United Airlines. They're gonna have a net neutral, well, I guess renewable carbon footprint for the jets in the airline industry by, I believe it's 2030. And Montgomery County is going to play a huge role in that. And just the people that are going to be employed there, the technology that's involved, the hundreds and hundreds of trucks and train cars that are going to be going along there, it's actually spurred the State Department of Transportation to put Montgomery County at the top of the list for developing highways. Because when you have hundreds and hundreds of trucks, big trucks going on our highways, 166 and Highway 400, 160, different areas near there, there needs to be turning lanes, there needs to be shoulders, and a lot of times it's a fairly dangerous. If you're ever going toward Edna, there's only a two-lane road. If you have the sun in your eyes, there's no shoulder, there's a drop-off. If there's a school bus, you know, coming, or they could easily have an accident. So I think it's going to help the Department of Transportation invest a lot in Montgomery County. And of course, Monday, not only is the license plate voting going to be unveiled, but also the City Commission has a meeting Monday, and they're going to announce something that's been under wraps and really not talked about much because of non-disclosure agreements. But there's another potential economic development project near Bartlett that could be twice as big in financial scope, but maybe up to $900 million in industrial revenue bonds to create another facility. And nobody knows a lot of the details except maybe the county commissioners and so forth, but Monday they're going to announce that. And I think when you look at what's going on with agricultural, with the soybean development, with the economic development, with the school systems, I just am very optimistic about the area. And I tell you one thing that made me very optimistic yesterday. I met with the incoming city manager, the interim city manager for Coffeyville, Mr. Tim Wilson. And I'll just say, when I read his resume online, I couldn't believe he was in Coffeyville. He's had years and years of experience with multi-billion-dollar companies as CEO, chairman of the board. He's been with Berkshire Hathaway affiliated companies, Prosperity Home Mortgage. He's been on national boards on the federal level, and he moved back to Coffeyville. I'll kid him a little bit, but he's a year older than me. He graduated a year before me at Field Kinley, but he's from here. He went all the way through school here. He moved back here to be with his family, and this man is going to be the interim city manager. And I have a lot of positivity about this because he has connections with so many people that are potentially going to be able to network into our area here and develop economically. So I hope you can get him on the radio show soon, and he would be a great person to interview.
Oh, yeah. We will be getting him on our regular spot twice a month. So looking forward to that. And, yes, a lot of, like you said, many changes taking place, but I think, you know, many of them for the good. So moving on just quickly, I know we had a news story this morning taking more to the state level as we continue our chat with State Representative Ron Bryce. And the update was that, you know, they're hoping to get this state court computer system back online now that, you know, it's been off since October 16th, I think.
Yeah, and that is a positive development for the state. It also has pointed out how there's a two-edged sword with technology, and we all have these smartphones. Most of us have smartphones where we can order Amazon and have it delivered the next day. It's very, very convenient. But the flip side of that is people who have ill intent can get involved and hack into it and steal financial information and so forth. And it's very positive that we're getting the court system back online, but there are even larger threats to the state government, to the court system. This was, I believe, we can safely say, according to the Kansas Supreme Court, this was a malevolent attack and maybe even a ransomware attack, trying to extort money from the state of Kansas to get their records back. And there are potential weaknesses in our online presence as a state. And I know there are a couple of committees now working. I think Senator Virgil Peck is on one of those, working with these systems. There are a lot of bad actors, and some of them are foreign. And I believe the court system hack was found to be a foreign bad actor. So we need to keep alert. We need to upgrade our systems. And I think we can learn from this, even though it was devastating in a sense because people didn't have online access for court filings and marriage licenses and different things. It woke us up to the fact that we need to really protect our data and to get ahead of the curve on some of these things.
That is a great reminder there. So continuing on, you know, we have you said you have a little update here on some of the Kansas counties needing permission to raise sales taxes. What does that entail?
Well, the way taxes work in the state of Kansas, if a city wants to raise sales tax, they can do that, but a county has to have permission of the state legislature to do that. And so Adam Smith, who's the chairman of the House Tax Committee on Taxation, was on a special committee this summer, and the recommendation is, and this will be coming up in next month as we start our session, a potential bill will be presented to allow counties to not go through this process because it's very cumbersome currently. And just to give a little background, politics gets involved. Anytime you
What a surprise!
Who would have known state government had politics? But when you, let's say Montgomery County that we're in now, wants to raise the sales tax, they currently have to have permission and vote on in the House and Senate and signed by the governor to raise. And so it's a two-year process, really. If they can't respond to events on the ground very rapidly, because it's about a two-year process to get a bill like that through the legislature. And so the proposed legislation would basically let counties have a little more liberty, as cities currently do, to adjust their tax rates according to events on the ground. I think that makes sense to me because I like the idea of local people having more control over local events and not relying so much on the state government or federal government. And I've always been kind of a local control guy, and I feel like that's the best way to preserve our liberty, preserve local say. When we have our local people deciding things like tax rates, it's much, much more solid than having, you know, waiting on some bureaucrat, say, in Washington, D.C. or in Topeka to do something, or to wait on a state legislature to do something. So I appreciate Chairman Adam Smith bringing this up. And by the way, can you imagine a better name for a tax committee chairman than Adam Smith?
Oh, no, that's perfect. That's great.
He was born to take that job.
I'd say so.
But he's a great guy, and he's a former county commissioner, and so he understands this this process that they go through thoroughly. And I think I would – I'll have to read the legislation, but I believe I would be very supportive of this.
All right. Well, we got about a minute and a half left with State Representative Ron Bryce. And, sir, what do you want to hit on as we wrap things up?
Well, just the final final thing I would bring up is taxes. I am dead set on trying to have cuts in taxes. Last session we had a big tax bill that would have cut income tax for every taxpayer in Kansas, would have accelerated the sales tax on groceries reduction, would have reduced property taxes, and we came one vote from overriding the governor's veto. And so I'm sure as we start the session in 3 weeks or so, this will be top burner, front burner for the legislature, is to try and get good tax relief for the taxpayers of the state of Kansas and Montgomery County.
Excellent. Well, we appreciate the time we have here with you today, sir. And if people have questions for you, constituents want to get a hold of you, what's the best way to do that?
I tell you, during the session, if you have Facebook, go to Ron Bryce for Kansas, and I'll be posting almost daily. I'll post a little clip of a video, what's happening in the legislature that day. I even interview, you know, the elevator worker, the janitor. I just kind of a you are there kind of thing. I would love to hear from you. You can message me, Ron Bryce for Kansas, in Facebook.
Okay, I know people are really getting a kick out of that, and that is a very cool elevator at the state capitol. If you've never seen it, that's one of my favorites.
Yeah. So.
Alrighty, well, we get to talk with you again here at the end of the month is the plan, so
excellent.
Looking forward to that on the 29th at this time. That is State Representative Ron Bryce here on the Mighty 690, and we do have much coming up, including our Ask the Expert segment here on the Mighty 690. Rain continuing throughout the area and 46 degrees right now.